Yeah. Dadvad Brahman, Sutridad, Paris, Tennessee, Shishmat, Slavine Base, AC Bhakta Vedanta Sara Shina Prabhupada, ISKCON Svatra Chari Shina Prabhupada, Grantarad Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki, Sri Sri Natai Gaura Hari Ki, Sri Sri Natai Sachi Sutta Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Gaura Premanande, all glories to the Dasam of the Rajas. All glories to the Dasam of the Rajas. All glories to the Dasam of the Rajas. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Nanova. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're going to read from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Attaining the Supreme. And we will read text 6, very famous verse and very important verse in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajad yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sada tad bhava bhavita. So Lord Krishna says, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. This verse, in other words, is to do with reincarnation, science of reincarnation, and particularly that part of the science which is to do with determining what your next body will be. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something else, something other than Krishna, attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life. And so in his next life, he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although, as a deer, he remembered his past activities, still, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts, during the course of one's life, accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So, this life creates one's next life. If, in one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transferred transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Yam yamvati smaram bhavam tyajya yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Om Vidyajitanandasya Gyana Jana Shalakaya Chakshanamatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vishnam Stapitam Yena Mutane Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Padati Swayam Panchakapatarubhyas Chakrita Sindhivyaya Vacha Paridhanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's very nice to be here with you all today, and we hope you enjoy the program. We'll be having a drama at some point, and then we'll have kirtan, and we'll have the feast, and then we'll have transcendental digital slideshow, either of Govardhan or Vasana. Do you mind too much where we go? Are you flexible? Because I don't know if I've got my Vasana slideshow together or not, but Govardhan Hill is kind of pretty much together, so we'll see. Okay. Actually, before I begin, I'll just read the previous verse because it's very closely related and it's also a very important verse. So this is chapter 8, text 5. I don't know if there's anything we can do about this sort of, you know, picking up sounds. Anyway, chapter 8, text 5. Antakale jamame va smaran mukva kalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati nast yatra samshayaha. Maybe I should speak without breathing. That would solve the problem telepathically. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body, remembering me alone, and once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So these very important verses in Bhagavad Gita, because they're dealing with the phenomenon of death, and that is something which is very practical and very down to earth. In fact, it's literally down to earth, because most people, when they come to that point, they collapse on the ground. And that's all. Even the biggest atheist, who will never offer his obeisances to Krishna, to God, when the time of death comes, he offers his prostrated obeisances and very humbly just lies there. So the time of death is a very practical reality which everyone has to contend with sometime. Problem is that we don't know when. Of course, some people, they do get some warning. If you have some serious disease, a terminal disease, then you'll know that at a certain, more or less at a certain time, then the end will come. But otherwise, generally we don't know. It could come any time. fact, I personally had experience when I was at school, young, perhaps 10 years old, or even less probably. So I was going to catch the bus to school in the morning, and one of my friends was being driven to school by his father, and they were on the other side of the road, and my friend called out, "Come, come, we'll give you a lift." So I thought, yes, good, I'll take a lift. So there was actually a bus in the stop at the time, so I couldn't see around behind it to see what traffic was coming from that side. My friend was across the road, so I thought, well, let's just walk down about 20 yards, and then I'll be safe, then I'll just run across. So I did that. Next thing that I recall was waking up about 3 or 4 hours later in bed, having been hit by a car. Yeah. Yes, I didn't know, even to this day, I don't know what car hit me or what happened to me when I got hit. All I did, I ran, and then I woke up. So who knows? You don't know. You may get warning. You may get warning, you may not. But you have to be ready. You have to be ready, particularly because it may happen any time, then you really have to be ready for anything, actually. Because it could come to any time. You probably know the story. We've told this story many times before, of when the personality of death came to Lanesha. You heard that story? I'm sure you heard that story. Oh, yes. Well, there was one man, rich man, living somewhere in Lens, extension, what, 5? That's a fairly affluent area, isn't it? He was somewhere out there in dreamland, Lanesha. And so he had a servant, faithful servant, and he would send him off here and there to do things. So one day he sent him off to, I don't know, somewhere, where's the shopping center? Anyway, wherever it is, we were there chanting the other day, yesterday, somewhere to the spa or the Checkers or whatever. And that servant was looking around for the thing he was meant to find, and suddenly he just bumped into someone quite hard, and they turned around, a little taken aback, and looked at each other, and the servant saw that the person he had bumped into was death in person, death personified, the personality of death. And the poor servant, he was just, oh, so astonished, he didn't know what to do, he just froze, looking at death, and death was just looking at him. Suddenly death made a very strange expression, like, almost amused, but surprised, something like that. And that was very horrible. So when the servant saw that, he ran. And he ran back to his boss in extension 5 and said, "I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out. I'm going to Lodium, to my sister's place, and I'm going to hide there because I saw death. And it was just, oh, it was too much. I can't take it. Goodbye." And away he went. And the boss was very upset that his servant had just abandoned him like that. So he thought, let me go down to the spa and find death and just tell him how I don't appreciate him, how he's disrupting things for me. So he went down, and sure enough, death was still in the spa. What a chickens. Going free. Death was there, so the boss walked up to him and said, you know, oh, and the servant, sorry, that's one point, important point, that his servant, just before he ran away from the house to Lodium, he told his boss that, you know, there I was looking at death, it was just shocking, suddenly made a strange expression, it was too much, so I can't take it, so I'm going. So anyway, then the boss went down and there was Dan lurking in the spa, probably around the butchery section, or something like that. Anyway, Hare Krishna. And he walked up to Death and said, "What do you think you're doing? How dare you? Why? Why do you do these things? Why did you frighten my servant? That's not fair. You shouldn't do that." And Death said, "Well, I'm sorry. It's just that I tend to frighten people. I can't help it." And then the boss said, "Well, that may be, but why did you make that strange expression at him? That was really what the straw that broke the camel's back. It was just too much. Why did you do that?" And then said, "Well, you know, the reason I did that was that I was very surprised to see your servant there in the spa here in Linz, because I have an appointment with him in his sister's place in Lodium tomorrow." In other words, you don't know, but you can't avoid it, dear, no matter how clever you are at dodging and, you know, making out in this material world, but you can't escape, dear. And you don't know. You don't know when death will come. So here, Lord Krishna's explaining like this how the state of mind you're in at the time of death is critical. Totally critical. If you happen to be in the wrong state of mind when the time of death comes, then, you may go to some very unfortunate type of situation here. Prabhupada mentions Bharat Maharaj, famous Bharat Maharaj, who was a devotee actually. However, in the later part of his life, he became associated with a deer, and he befriended this deer, and he took this deer under his care, and it became like his pet. And he became totally enamored by this deer. It was just all day he was just thinking of this deer, helping the deer, doing this for the deer, taking the deer out, feeding the deer, petting the deer, speaking to the deer. He was just totally absorbed. And this was the later part of his life. And when he died, he was thinking of the deer. So he took birth as a deer, which is very disadvantageous type of position, because if you're an animal, then what can you do? You can't do anything constructive with your life. All the animals do is eat, sleep, mate, defend. But they can't do anything. Materially, they can't improve their standard of living materially for what that may be worth. And they certainly can't improve their spiritual standards by taking up some religious process or some practice, some sort of religious spiritual practice. They can't do it. They don't have that capacity. So therefore, to be born in that type of situation is highly disadvantageous. So we should be very careful that we're in the right type of consciousness. And then Krishna explains that we should be thinking of him. If we are thinking of him, then when the time of death comes, we'll go to him. You know, it's said for devotees that a devotee should live his or her life, or rather, the devotee should live every day as if it was his last. In other words, keyed up, ready, remembering Krishna carefully. Because one day it will be, and you don't know when that will be, so you might as well be ready, always. Whereas for the materialistic person, if the materialistic person is thinking of dying, and the end may come, and then I'll lose everything, so on, then the materialistic person will be unenthusiastic for getting ahead in material life. Therefore, it's said that the materialistic person should live every day as if he will never die. Just go for it, or whatever. Just totally absorbed in sense gratification. But the devotee should live every day as if it's his last, because one day it will be. Doesn't mean that the devotee is morbid or anything like that, but the devotee should be prepared. This is my slideshow next for him.
How are we doing? Are we up to schedule?
Okay. Yes, so we should be ready. We should be ready. And Prabhupada explains here that what you will think of at the time of death is basically like the sum total or the accumulation of what you've thought of during this life. Not that you can simply decide, if you happen to be one of these people who gets some notice that you're going to die in a week, like Maharaj Pariksit, he was told, 7 days, then you'll die. Or maybe someone who's got cancer or something, and then you'll know that in approximately 6 months you'll die. It is not that you can simply expect like that and then think, well, when I get my notice, then I'll prepare myself. We have to start preparing now. Because what you will remember at the time of death is that which you've remembered most during your life, your whole life. In other words, at the time of death, your whole life is summed up. It's like that. So we should practice chanting Hare Krishna. We should practice chanting Hare Krishna because this is the way. Anyway, we hope, ladies, that you guys won't do that. We will pray to Krishna for you. Okay. But anyway, in this case, he did. He lost her in a gambling match. Just very amazing. And then the people who won her thought they would make a public display of the fact that she is ours and we can do what we like, and they can't do what they can to help her because she's ours now. So Dushasana started undressing Mother Draupadi, pulling her sari off her body. Probably you're familiar with that story, how Mother Draupadi was resisting, holding on, and trying to stop this man from pulling her sari away. But she couldn't do it, because he was a very powerful man. He was a giant. So she realized, it became clear within her mind that there's nothing much I can do here. So she let go with one hand, held the other hand, held that hand up, and called out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," while holding on still with the other hand. And then Krishna did nothing happened, except he was pulling more sari away, Dushasana. So then she realized, there's nothing I can do, so she let go altogether with both hands, and just called out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, oh Krishna, please save me if you so desire, please." Probably you know that story. And then Krishna reciprocated with that pure, selfless, completely dependent mood of chanting. And Krishna incarnated as the endless sari and saved her. Saved her, protected her honor, and like that. So there's a quality to that chanting. We should chant in order to prepare ourselves to remember Krishna at the time of death. But we shouldn't just chant. We should chant like Draupadi chanted. Prabhupada would say, just like the genuine cry of the child or the mother. just like here we've been hearing a few children demonstrating over the last half hour or so, crying out for their mothers, but I don't think any of them were very serious. Not like the genuine cry, you know what I mean? From the heart and full force from the lungs to the mother. Then the mother will respond. But if the child is just playing around and trying to take advantage of the mother, then the mother may not respond. So similarly with Krishna. We call out very sincerely, Krishna will respond. And Krishna will give us his mercy and give us his shelter. So like this, we have to prepare. We have to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness and not attached on the material platform. Actually, attachment on the material platform, like we mentioned, Bharat Maharaj, attached to the deer. But attachment can manifest in either or both even of two ways. Attraction, like Maharaj Bharat, to the deer. He was attracted and his mind became attached and he couldn't forget the deer. Attraction or repulsion. If you are repulsed by something, then your mind becomes attached, isn't it? Sometimes if people have a fight with someone, then they can't get that person out of their mind. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had a fight with anyone? Then it just, that person just gets into your head and you're just thinking what you'd like to do to that person. So that's not an attraction, it's a repulsion. So attraction or repulsion. Chaitan, stay with it, Chaitan. Thanks. Yes, attraction, repulsion, falling asleep, these are all obstacles. Just like we have our principles of no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. So if you get really worked up about it, and you think, you know, this meat eating is so bad, I hate it, and I hate the people who do it, and, you know, and you're just thinking about that. You're just thinking about how you hate it, and you hate those people. Of course, we don't eat meat. We practice, and we teach not to eat meat. But that doesn't mean we're just always absorbed in thinking about how bad it is and, you know, how nasty it is and, you know what I mean? We're trying to think of Krishna. And of course we don't want to become attracted to these things. We also don't want to just become repulsed by these things, because in both cases your mind becomes fixed on that material thing. And that means you'll stay in the material world when your next life comes, if you remember like that at the time of death. So we try to remember Krishna. In other words, attraction and repulsion are two sides of the same coin. Right? You understand? You have a coin, head side, tails.